Yeah, it's been good, and I've been gotten a lot of good feedback.
Good.
So we're excited to share this with everybody.
Good.
And just for the recording sake, I'm with Dr. Carlos Sundberg, president of the seminary.
And his cousin.
And we're going to talk about questions to help people follow Jesus, really. And the first question is, what are three or four marks of spiritual maturity? In other words, what are we aiming for as we follow Jesus?
Well, ultimately, the aim or the telos of this whole thing is to become like Christ. And and if we, you know, boy, it's hard for me to think two or three other things. I mean, it's just to become like Christ. And that as we grow in our spiritual walk, we have this ever-increasing participation in Christ. Through the power of the Holy Trinity, we're invited into fellowship with our Holy God. And it's just amazing, and maybe these are kind of points of this, but along the way, we want to imitate Christ in our lives because I want to become more like him. But the more that I participate with Christ, there comes a point where it's not necessarily whether you see me imitating Christ or Christ in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that unity with God, that just becomes more and more and more. And that has got to be what's always before every single one of us, is to become like Christ.
Mm-hmm. Then the big question is how?
Well, yeah, how does that happen in our lives? I'm just going to tell you, I think one of the greatest things that we've been lacking on in our church in the last number of years is really looking at discipleship and how do we help to form people spiritually. If you go back to John Wesley and the Wesley class and the band meetings, it was about discipleship and formation and this Christ-likeness and high levels of accountability and spiritual discipline. I think we have a desperate need and call back to spiritual disciplines in our lives. So how does that happen? I shared in this workshop yesterday, the average Christian leader in America today spends 5 minutes or less a day in prayer. We've got to learn how to pray again, because prayer is not about just us giving requests to God. It is about God forming and shaping us by us being in prayer. And so if we don't spend time in God's holy presence, how do we become more like God? You know, whatever's the most important thing to us, that's what we're going to end up being like. So we literally, the spiritual discipline is that I have to set time aside every day to be in prayer and to be in the Word. And to me, it's a combination of the two that really help to shape us spiritually. I find that people are pretty lacking in terms of knowing how to be in the Word of God. We sell so many popular Bible studies out there and stuff, and yet they don't really just take us into the Word. A number of years ago, I read a book called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero. And Chuck and I both read that. And that book has been really formational to both of our lives. And I actually use it when I teach spiritual formation with my students now. And it is a very simple way, but to be in the Word every day. And you read through the whole Bible in a year in this reading plan. Makes us read places that we may not want to necessarily go to. But, you know, approaching the Word in prayer. And then approaching the Word not through a commentary or something else, but saying, God, what do you want to say to me in this word today? And so spending about 20 minutes at least in reading of the Word of God, then taking about 20 minutes to, and I use this plan, it's called SOAP, but S, for what is the scripture that spoke to me today? O, what is my observation from that scripture? A, what is my personal application? What does it mean for me? What am I going to learn from this today? And P, what is my prayer that comes out of that scripture today? And so just talking about my own life, this is a discipline that I have just had to help make part of who I am and how I live my life every day, just to be soaked in the Word and to be soaked in prayer. John Wesley would look at his day and say, I've got so much to do today. I need to go spend more time in prayer. And I think we fail to understand the importance of that foundation of prayer in this whole thing. So prayer, scripture, to me, it's hard to even divide the two, because when I'm reading the Word, I'm like meditating on the Word. you know, and then the word will spark me into prayer about this or about that. And so that personal time, but not just the personal time, because we are part of a community of faith as well. And we need to be connected, one body. So what does it mean for me to then be accountable in some way, shape, or form? Now, for me, I live in kind of a weird space in terms of the fact that I travel so much. But it's been a real blessing for me to have my husband and now my daughter co-pastoring this church in Shawnee. And one of the neatest things at the Shawnee Church is the Wednesday night prayer gathering. And my husband didn't come till last night because he stayed for prayer meeting Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And those people have so loved me and brought me into that community that I feel like that's an accountability group for me and to be there. So when I'm in town, I'm often more in town during the week than weekends. So I'm there to be there on Wednesday nights and to pray with these people. Because there's something powerful that happens when community gets together and prays. But there needs to be accountability with one another. What I've talked about when I write out this from my scriptures and what I read during the day, from Wayne Cordero's book. At that time, I was evangelism and discipleship pastor at a church in Fort Wayne, and I was discipling a lot of new believers. And in doing that, many of them didn't know how to read the word. So I brought them along with me in the same reading plan. And then I would post my journaling on the church website every day because they were also reading the same scriptures. So it was like, okay, let's be accountable. And this is showing that your pastor is accountable to being in the word every day.
Right.
And that was really cool. Well, then I was elected to be a DS, and at that point I thought, oh, I don't need to do that anymore because that was at that local church. And boy, the Lord convicted me and said, who are you to think that you could be a DS or eventually, you know, NTS president or whatever, and not still be accountable to being in the word and being a disciple of mine?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when my blog started, Reflecting the Image.
Right.
And that was a conviction from the Lord that said, no, you know, you're a follower, a disciple of me. You need to be in that word. You need to be studying every day. So, and not that I wouldn't have been studying, but the accountability piece. And so it's almost like my public accountability to, you know, and I'll confess to you the schedule these few days, it's not going to be there because I physically, I need enough sleep, and I don't even get enough hours between the time I'm done at night till I have to, you know, I had to be here at 6:40 this morning. It's like, didn't get home till after 10 last night. So that's hard for me during these times, but I have learned that physical rest is actually has to be a spiritual discipline for me too. I don't function well if I don't get enough sleep.
Well, and if we're tired, we're more susceptible to temptation and to discouragement and all of those things too.
Well, and the other thing I've learned is I also have a whole prayer group that I email and share with them my concerns. They live all over the country, and it's a whole team of people that pray for me. And what I have learned is at times like this, that that's part of being part of the community of faith. They're doing the praying for me, and they've told me that. They said, you know, these days, we know these are heavy on you. We're going to be doing the praying for you. I was like, that's what it means to be together in this community of faith. Now, part of this is that's kind of where a lot of my personal kind of growth and stuff comes. But what happens out of that, which also leads to personal growth, is that I have to go out and be in this world and be a reflection of Christ in this world. So therefore, what happens in my personal spiritual development has to impact the way that I intersect with the world. So it means that, you know, Christ in Christ's holiness, you know, he goes out into the world and the woman with the issue of blood, she touches him. And by all rights of Jewish law, she should have made him unclean. But she doesn't. He makes her clean. And so the idea is that if I then go out in the world doesn't make me unclean. I am to go into the dark places, to the margins, to the people on the edge and be Jesus out there. So, and that helps me to grow as well. Just recently, I was in Washington, D.C. and had a couple hours to kill between meeting some people there and a homeless guy. And he asked me for some food. And I said, well, let me take you in here. I took him into a Popeyes to get some food. And the lady behind the counter was so mean to him. And I'm like, I'm paying. And whatever this man wants, I'm just paying for it. Well, another guy said, I'm hungry too. And I said, whatever he wants. And his name was James. And I just started talking to James. And then James just gets this incredible look on his face. And he looks at me and he says, I will not forget you. And I literally thought of the scripture verse, whatever you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done unto me. I almost felt like it was Jesus looking at me and saying.
What you said about the woman with the issue of blood, I sometimes tell people with relationships, in that relationship, are you making that person more like Christ, or are they making you more like the world? And if it's the wrong way, you need to change the nature of that relationship.
Well, and that can only happen because Jesus was Jesus and Jesus was holy.
Right.
And so we can only go out into those spaces, in essence, if we're spending time. There's that connection between being with Christ so that I can go be Christ.
Yeah.
If I miss this part of the personal spiritual formation and I just try to go out and be Christ, then more than likely they're gonna tear me down. And, part of the conversation these days is a lot of our young people, we talk about social justice and all this stuff, which I believe Jesus calls us into, but it has to come from having been with Jesus that I do that. A lot of good people in the world will just go do those things.
Right.
The difference for us as followers of Christ has to be that it has to be a both and. And it's about, I want to go out and engage and help people come to Jesus. And I want to go out to the people on the margins and help them to go to Jesus.
So
that's where Jesus would go.
We talk about spiritual disciplines. We talk about prayer. Actually spending time in conversation. Time in the Word. You talk about being accountable in a small group. Is there anything else that you would add to that list?
Well, for spiritual formation, I think it's also really important to be gathered together in worship.
Mm-hmm.
I think whether we always like what the church does or not, Jesus came and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church was birthed. And the church is Christ's instrument in this world. So I believe part of our spiritual formation is to be in church. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's not about going to a church that makes me feel good or that ticks all my boxes. If I'm truly wrestling with being in community, probably we're not all going to be alike, and it's not always going to float my boat.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's an incredible place for spiritual growth to be in a church where everything isn't the way maybe you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's going to use that to shape and to form us. You know, I have discovered that what I get out of church on Sunday has a whole lot to do with the time that I've spent with Jesus during the week. And if I've had a great time with Jesus, I can't wait to go to church on Sunday because actually I'm just really excited to get together with body of Christ and worship God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not about, oh, I don't like doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not about me.
Yeah.
So part of that spiritual discipline to me is to be in the body of Christ. And there is even submission to one another within that body of Christ. And I think that's important. But to me, also spiritual discipline and the growth is participation in Christ's mission in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it too, is where does that take me? What does that make me engage in?
Yeah. A lot of people have a problem with time management. Mm-hmm. And you've already kind of alluded to the busyness, how busy we can get in our schedules. And people get busy. And they neglect their prayer time, or they neglect time in the Word for a day, 2 days. How do we make time and keep our spiritual disciplines alive in a world that's often not routine?
Well, I think you said, how do we make? Part of it is you make. I mean, we make time for the things that are important to us. Mm-hmm. They're going to be priorities for us. So, you know, to me, my time with the Lord is an absolute priority. So whether or not I blogged today, I didn't blog today, but I spent time in prayer today. And
I spent time worshiping through music this morning and stuff before I ever went out. I just don't function if I'm not spending time with Jesus, if Jesus doesn't inform my day and what I'm doing. And literally, like I said, I hear people and I know I'm busy and stuff, but we still have time. I mean, there's people that are on the internet, how much time we spend on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, this spiritual discipline, it is a discipline.
Yeah.
And God leads us into that discipline. You know, other disciplines include fasting. And also a discipline of how we take care of our bodies.
Yeah.
You know, God has given us these bodies to be used in kingdom service. And, you know, I'm speaking to myself here, but the conviction that I need to not be overweight, I need to take good care of this body, to me, that's a spiritual discipline as well. So these are disciplines. We're living in a world where I think technology and everything, it's like throwing so much at us that as followers of Christ, we're actually going to have to put up some barriers that say, you know what, these are going to be my priorities. Those things are not. I was just talking to a pastor recently. He's in New York City. It's not a Nazarene church. But every new member, he encourages them to write a rule of life.
Yeah.
And they actually write out what are going to be the disciplines that they're going to do. And a lot of that has to do with fasting from media. And I think that's going to have to be our new fast.
Probably harder for some people than skip a meal.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think it's become addictive.
It has, yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, in terms of going to addictions, but the spiritual disciplines, and this is kind of going back to some early church language, practice spiritual disciplines and the practice, they call them the practice of virtues. So practice of virtues was ministering to the poor. And we read the scriptures, minister to the poor, visit people in prison. You know, a lot of these things, are we actually engaging in those practices that actually are going to help us to grow spiritually? And we're just going to have to create space in our lives. And there's not an easy answer to that except to say, we're going to have to say, I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to just be busy like the world. I am going to put some disciplines in here, and that's what I'm going to do.
Talk about what's important for you. It seems to me that we always have time for lunch.
We do.
We always have time for dinner. But then we say, I'm too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to pray. So it is really setting those up. How about...
I have to get up early enough in my day to make sure that I have time to do that.
Right, right. So it's just a decision that...
It's a decision that my alarm's going to go off early.
Yeah. Decision we make. This is part of our life, as important as a meal is to us. How about... You've talked a little bit about this. Maybe you can talk a little bit more about... the value of being in a small group. We hear so much about small groups, and we live in a culture of lone rangers.
Well, an American culture tends to be more that way.
Yeah.
I feel like the Russian culture taught us a lot more about what it means to be part of the family of God. They're much more about community and community helping one another. So, you know, the value of small group, you know, even when I'm at the church, I go to a Sunday school group on Sunday mornings, and the way they do it at church there is we have worship and then we go to Sunday school. And so Sunday school is kind of dissecting the sermon and how did God speak to us today through that. It's really good. It's really good to hear the different voices and they're reflective and then you really have the application of it. So I think those pieces are just very important to us. And again, it goes back to accountability. I'm going to go back to practices of virtue. I mean, there are conversations we just haven't been having in the church. One of them is around sexuality. You know, issues around what is the standard to which God calls us as God's people? And I know there's a lot of conversation around gay marriage, and I'm not in support of gay marriage. I don't believe that the scripture tells us that that is appropriate. But sometimes I find that the loudest voices against gay marriage are the same people that have had two or three affairs or are involved in internet porn. And I just want to say, okay, he's without sin, cast the first stone here. And church, let's talk about what it means to be God's holy people. And if I'm spending time with Jesus and wanting to become more like Jesus, what happens along the way is that standard for my life continues to change. And I think there is an incredible need for accountability and sexual purity within our church. We have, how many of our young people are living together before they get married? We're not even having that conversation. You know, I mean, we want to have the extreme conversation, and we don't want to talk about what's the problem straight in front of us.
Right.
And this is our problem, is that we're trying to be as much like the world as we possibly can be. God didn't call us to be like the world.
Right. Right.
And if we are serious about holiness and about this deeper walk with Jesus Christ, I'm actually going to be pretty radically different than the world. And the standards by which we in the church and we live by, they're going to be different. But I tell you what, when Wesley got his small groups together, they asked you, one of the questions every week was, what temptations have you faced and how have you dealt with them? You know, I think we go into small groups and Sunday school classes and we like to do studies because that's a lot safer than answering questions with one another. I actually think the value of the small group would be going back to asking the questions. Let's be accountable. You know, let me be accountable to you as to whether I'm spending time in the Word. Let me spend time with you telling you whether I have had opportunities for ministry and I've done something about it, or I've run into somebody this week where I've had a divine appointment and I needed to talk to them about Jesus. You know, those kind of things. We have to really seek out what, yeah, there's just a lot to unpack there. And I really think without accountability somewhere, we're really lacking. I mean, my greatest accountability partner is my husband, who will call me on the carpet if I'm not having the right attitude or something. I mean, we are very, very accountable to each other mm-hmm. and spiritually.
Yeah. Without that accountability, it's easy to drift.
Absolutely.
It's easy to drift away.
Yeah.
So that kind of leads to the next question, which you've answered probably 14 different ways already, is how do we get to a level of consistency in our spiritual walk. You've seen it, I've seen it, where people are up and down, they're on fire, then they're cold, they're in, then they're out. How do we overcome that cycle? Because I think people struggle with that. I think people want to be consistent, but...
Well, without accountability, are they going to be consistent? Without kind of peer pressure, will they actually stay in the Word? Will they, you know, do those things? That's why I think small groups could be very, very vital if they created accountability. Most of the churches that I know that do well with discipleship, there's a really good church called the Rock Church of Anaheim. They have now discipled something like 3,000 people in the last 12 years, and they're currently planting 100 new congregations. I said, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of accountability built in. And you know what? The standard's pretty high of what they expect of people. When you first get into their first discipleship group, you have to commit. Okay. You have, this is someone that wants to pray with me. It's one of my prayer partners from around the world. You have to commit to 2 hours a week is all you get of television or internet.
Wow. That's an amazing commitment.
Believers, and you do it for the first 4 weeks of your life.
Wow.
And people are doing it in droves. So I think one of the fallacies we've told ourselves is that people will think this is too hard and they won't do it. That's not true. I think people will do it. I think we actually need to say, you know, this is the standard. Let's live into this and let's be accountable.
So we've made it. Have we made it too easy for people to become Christians without explaining the cost, without explaining
Absolutely.
What's required? What happens when you start to walk with Christ?
I think we've sort of adopted the Calvinist model. Let's just get them saved. Uh-huh. Now wait a minute. And the whole Wesleyan model, it's all about discipleship.
And I would argue the whole biblical model is all about discipleship.
I think it is too. It's not just about getting people in the door or getting them fire insurance so they don't go to hell.
Yeah.
But we've made it that way.
Yeah. And I think people struggle because of that that thought and that attitude. I have one bonus question from Dr. Deal.
Okay.
He emailed me and said, ask them this. Let me just read the question. I think it's applicable. He mentions the Church of the Nazarene, but I read the other day that there's only 3 denominations in the United States that aren't in decline. And something to that effect, something phenomenal like that. But he says, the Church of the Nazarene in North America has flatlined in membership and attendance. and the flat line has been there for at least 10 years, what would you do, if you could, to see the North American Church of the Nazarene, all of Christ Church in North America, grow again?
Well, first of all, if you look at our numbers and how many people we're bringing to Christ in every year, it's amazing. One of the reasons we're flatlined is because we're over 100 years old. Mm-hmm. So we have people dying. So we have people dying and being born. So I don't want to just like give an excuse, but actually God really is at work in the Church of the Nazarene. And we need to be careful about how we become negative about that statistic. give some of the other world areas where we're growing a lot, wait till they're 100 years old and they have major numbers of their people that are dying. It'll also affect that. So let's rejoice in the fact that something like 66,000 people came to Christ through the Church of Nazarene, USA, and Canada last year.
Yep.
So there's a lot of really good stuff going on. And I think that we need, but I do think a major part of our problem is identity. I think as a Church of the Nazarene, we sort of started adopting all this other stuff from everybody else and kind of got away from who we were as holiness people. And I think we got away from this piece of kind of what we're talking about today, the whole discipleship piece. And I think unless we have that firm foundation of people really growing, if we have shallow roots, we're going to have really shallow churches.
Yeah.
And so we can try and push, let's not just push numbers. That's my concern.
Right. Right.
No. Let us, and so like my friends out in Anaheim, it's not a Nazarene church, but I mean, their church has grown exponentially because they didn't focus on growing, they focused on discipling.
Mm-hmm.
I think discipling will make a huge difference for us.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to what Jesus said too. You know, he said, make disciples. He said, I'll grow my church.
That's right.
So I think sometimes we do. We get focused on growing the church and we don't make disciples,
right,
which is a formula for disaster biblically. If we're trying to do what only he can do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Good. I'll send Dr. Gill your answer.
Okay.
Well, he'll probably hear it or read it because
okay.
He subscribes to the blog.
Okay.
And so he'll hear what it is. So I'm glad we had this time.
Well, good.
And we'll have social time later.
We will.
This is
important.
That
I need to.
That's all right. That's all right. That's about right timing.